Nick has said, there are three small readings this morning. And don't panic, because I shall give out the page each time. Our first reading is chapter 6, verses 6 to 11. And you can find that reading on page 639. Verse 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. You can turn to page 660. And we're reading from chapter 24. Verses 30 to 34. I went past the field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. We turn to page 662. We're reading from chapter 6, verses 13 to 16. The sluggard says, there is a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He is too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who answer discreetly. These are the words of our Lord.
Well, I wonder whether you've got one of these in your family. We might need a few more lights off. We definitely need a few more lights off. Couch potato. Well, he may well vegetate, but he is animal rather than vegetable. So meet the sluggard. It's a wonderful word, isn't it? Sluggard. It actually portrays what it's describing in the way it's pronounced. He is a comic but tragic figure. He is bone idle, he's balding probably, beer-bellied, and he's a slob. He is more than just anchored to his bed, he is hinged to it. 26:14, as the door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. And he can't get up until at least midday. He dreams up preposterous excuses for not doing any work, such as when he says, there's a lion outside, I will be killed in the streets, or there's a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets. Well, there were Asiatic lions in biblical times, and actually until probably 400 or 500 years ago in Israel. They're smaller than the lions that we're more familiar with. But they'd only venture into villages if they got hungry, and with a plenteous supply of sheep in the countryside, that's not really very likely. And so the poor old sluggard, the end of his days is rather like this. It's a complete wasted life. Now, the sluggard's got at least four major character deficiencies, and he's meant to learn from the example of others and from his own adverse experience, as is the wise man, the observer of the sluggard. So, the first thing is he won't actually begin anything. When we ask him, 6:9, how long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? You know, how long or when? Well, we're being too definite for him. He doesn't know. All he knows is the delicious drowsiness within which he kind of lives. And all he asks for is a little bit more respite, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, a little, a little, a little. He doesn't commit himself to a refusal, but he deceives himself by putting it off a little. And so by inches and minutes, his opportunity slips away. He procrastinates. Procrastination is the bad habit of putting off until the day after tomorrow what should have been done the day before yesterday. Now, procrastinators often have other reasons as to why they delay. Some of them are perfectionists. They won't do anything unless they can be 100% sure that it's going to be 100% right. Well, there's no chance that the sluggard has that kind of standard. Or people might be fearful of failure, but the sluggard never thinks that far ahead, does he? He lives solely for the moment. His reason is simply that he's lazy. As someone said, the way to get to the top is to get off your bottom. So secondly, he won't actually finish anything. The rare effort of beginning something has been too much for him, and then the impulse dies. And so if he's been out hunting, his quarry actually goes bad on him. 12:27, the lazy man does not roast his game, meaning he doesn't get round to cooking it, so it goes off. So all his effort is wasted. I don't know whether we've got two microphones on, because I'm getting a lot of booming back at me. Okay. In 1924 and 26:15, his meal goes cold on him because he's too idle to get his hand out of the bowl. You know, he's just sitting there with a bunch of crisps, and he just hasn't got the effort to even eat them. Samuel Taylor Coleridge, who lived between 1772 and 1834, was a great British poet and critic, but he could have been even greater. He left Cambridge University to join the army. He left the army because he couldn't rub down a horse. He returned to Oxford and left without a degree. He began a paper called The Watchman, but it failed after 10 issues. It's been said of him, he lost himself in visions of work to be done, but it always remained to be done. It was said of Coleridge that he had every poetic gift but one, the gift of sustained and concentrated effort. In his head were all kinds of ideas, but his work rarely came to anything outside of his mind. Thirdly, the sluggard, he won't take advice from anybody else. A sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven people who answer discreetly. Warner Brothers have, for over a century, been a very successful film producer and distributor. In 1925, the brothers, there were four of them, wanted to move from silent pictures and to get into talkies. But Harry, the eldest of the brothers, opposed it, famously saying, "Who the heck wants to hear actors talk?" Well, by February 1926, the studio had suffered devastating losses, and it took them 5 years to get back on track, all because lazy thinking and reckoning that because you're the eldest, you know best, proved to be very costly. Now, because the sluggard makes a habit of the easy life and the very soft decision, you see, for example, he will not plough in season, we read. That's to say, he won't plough in the autumn because it's a bit too chilly for him. 24. And his character suffers as much as his business, so that it's implied in 15:19 that he's fundamentally dishonest because he's lazy. The way of the sluggard is blocked by thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. A little reminder that there's an element of dishonesty in laziness, dishonesty in trying to avoid the facts of life. You see, if he won't plough and sow in the autumn, he won't get the harvest in the springtime. And by not doing that, the sluggard is not playing his part in the family business. And it is the straight course, the highway, which is ultimately the easiest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. An endorsement by Jesus centuries later of the upright path. So consequently, the sluggard is a rather restless individual. 13:4, the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. He lives with unsatisfied desire, 21:26. All day long he craves for more, but the righteous give without sparing. He sponges off the generosity of the hard-working. He is helpless in the face of the tangle of his affairs, which are just like a hedge of thorns. And he's useless. He is expensively useless. 18:9. One who is slack in his work is brother to the one who destroys. And he's exasperating. So 10:26. He's a real irritant to anybody who has to work with him or employs him. As vinegar to the teeth. Apparently vinegar is bad news for enamel. And as smoke to the eyes, so are sluggards to those who send them. However, he's not without hope, in case any of you ladies were beginning to realize you might be married to one of them. Zsa Gabor, who had rather a lot of husbands, once said, "I've been married to a communist and a fascist, and neither would take out the garbage." Actually, in case any of you wives are in danger of us, a little bit of self-righteousness as we describe the sluggard, then probably you ought to look up Proverbs 19:13. Something about leaky roofs on a rainy day. But I'll say no more and leave that to your further study. Now the sluggard, like the wise man who observes him, is meant to learn from example and learn from experience. He's to learn from the example from the animal kingdom, and he's to learn from his own personal experience of how things go wrong. So first of all, from the animal kingdom. Listen to what Samuel Johnson, a 17th century writer who paraphrased Proverbs 6:6-9, has to say. It's not the one by Isaac Watts on the sheet. I'll come to that later. It's this one. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. It's a rather evocative turn of phrase. Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. Now, it's not cue for a kind of great study on whatever the study of ants is called, because he only picks out two things about where he is, you know, to learn from the ant. Firstly, the ant has no overseer, verse 7. Whereas the sluggard has to be kind of prodded and nagged before he'll do anything, if at all. And the second feature of the ant that's worth noticing is knowing the time. To him, the sluggard, all time is alike. Summer and harvest, verse 8. But the ant thinks ahead. He harvests and he stores his food for the winter. But the old sluggard wants to sit on his butt for the whole year round. 10, 4 and 5. Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during the harvest is a disgraceful son. You see, if he doesn't harvest in the summer, he will have nothing with which to survive the winter. Furthermore, he won't have anything to sow that autumn so that he has a harvest the following springtime. Like the Pharaoh in Jeremiah 46:17, he has let the appointed time pass by. He's missed his chance. Like the slumbering watchman of Isaiah 56:9-12, Israel's watchmen are blind. They all lack knowledge. They are all mute dogs. They cannot bark. They lie around and dream. They love to sleep. The motto, tomorrow shall be like today, or even better. You see, the sluggard doesn't think ahead. He doesn't make provision. He is a loser. So, having seen the example of the ant, he should have learnt, but he didn't. And so he learns from his adverse experience. But the lessons come too late for him. He will suddenly wake up to find that poverty has arrived. 6:11. It will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. And there'll be no arguing with it. Through shirking hard work, he has qualified for drudgery. Just when his energetic friend has risen to more rewarding duties, 12:24, diligent hands will rule. But laziness ends in slave labor. And through procrastination, the disorder of his life has become irreversible. His life's a waste of space, a waste of time. 24:30-31, I went past the field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment. Thorns come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds and the stone wall was in ruins. Now the wise man will profit from observing the experience of the sluggard. 24:32. I applied to my heart what I observed and learned a lesson on what I saw. The wise man learns while there is still time. He knows that the sluggard isn't a freak, but he's often an ordinary man who has made just too many excuses, too many refusals, and too many postponements. It's all been imperceptible and as pleasant as falling asleep. Proverbs' portrait of the sluggard is extreme. It's actually even comical. Nevertheless, laziness and the lack of foresight in all its subtle forms, has serious consequences. As this poem, which really sums up the sluggard from Proverbs, by Isaac Watts, who we know better as a 17th century hymn writer and writer, brings out. It's on the song sheet because I thought you might like to take it away. Let me read it to you. "'Tis the voice of the sluggard, I heard him complain. You have waked me too soon, I must slumber again. As the door on its hinges, so he on his bed, turns his sides and his shoulders and his heavy head. A little more sleep, a little more slumber, thus he wastes half his days and his hours without number. And when he gets up, he sits folding his hands, or walks about sauntering, or trifling he stands. I passed by his garden and saw the wild briar, the thorn and the thistles grow broader and higher. The clothes that hang on him are turning to rags, and his money still wastes till he starves or he begs. I made him a visit, still hoping to find that he took better care for improving his mind. He told me his dreams, talked of eating and drinking, but scarce reads his Bible and never loves thinking. Said I to my heart, here's a lesson for me. This man's but a picture of what I might be. But thanks to my friends for their care in my breeding, who taught me betimes to love working and reading." The sluggard. Learn from him, but don't be like him. Think ahead, work hard, do your best in life, get a grip of it, and it will pay off, and especially in the area of eternal things, thinking about the life which is beyond this one.